I am super excited today. I have a special guest, my friend Joe Graham, who is a sales pro, and he's going to help us talk about getting into sales, doing better at sales, and refining the sales process. So could you tell us a little about yourself and what makes you a sales pro?
Sure. I fell into sales, honestly. Anyone that becomes a pro at anything starts out as someone just trying out, learning, growing, becoming the person you're supposed to be. So I'm a 20-year overnight success when it comes to sales. That's kind of how I frame it. And really, I just learned by trial and error and finding the niche and helping people and getting to the point where it wasn't about me anymore. In fact, the first time I went to do a sale, and I say this a lot if you've heard me talk before, but I've said this before, I've literally, the first person I sold, I looked into him and I said, I can't do this. I don't know what I'm doing. I had a flip chart, so I'm dating myself. And this is for Home Depot. And they're like, bro, I'm going to buy from Home Depot anyway. I love it. And I'm like, okay. And right then I knew it wasn't about me. And it was just about helping people. And once I was able to reframe that, that's how I guess I became or started becoming a sales pro.
Yeah. So how did you know, though? So you said you fell into it. You're working at Home Depot. And I've known Joe probably. We've known each other almost 30 years. We've known each other a long time. And so I would consider you very outgoing, very gregarious, the life of the party type personality. And a lot of times people think that's what you have to be in sales. And you are those. But how did you know you weren't in sales to that point? So how did you know, yeah, I think I can make a career out of this?
The company I was working for downsized. It was the only job I could get, and I had a family, so I had to just take the risk. And life is about risk. Like when I asked my wife to marry her, it was a risk. When I went overseas, it's a risk. When I do anything, it's a risk. And I just took that step out and did the risk. But here, I want to caveat this because I do have that personality, but I'm actually very introverted, which I know sounds funny to a lot of people.
Yeah.
I can literally go and control a room, control a party, do all that stuff. But if you follow my content, you'll see I do a bunch of walks. I do stillness practice. I do a bunch of stuff that I have to recharge by filling back up. I don't feed off of people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of actually really good salespeople are that way too. So if you're introverted, you might actually be really good at sales because people think that introverts don't like to talk. No, we just like to talk about things that are very important that we're passionate about. That's kind of the caveat there. But I didn't know. Like I took a job with Home Depot and I'm going through the motions and I'm trying stuff. And then the second week I sold a roof for $11,000 and got the biggest check of my life at that time, which was a grand, which right now, if I got a check for a grand, I'd be pissed. But at that time I was working and like $1,000 was like 2 weeks worth of work at the time. I made it in like 11 minutes. I'm like, holy crap. And then I'm like, well, wait a minute, there's something here. And I started learning how to help people find out what their problem was, solve it for them, and I got paid. I'm like, cool, this is a win-win. This isn't like the TV where the sales guys are trying to screw them. I don't have to screw anyone. Mm-hmm. Once I could do that, then it was just those principles of I'm going to help as many people as possible. And I kind of kept growing and moving, and I shifted from doing like in-home sales, roofing, window siding, to I did oil and gas sales, talking to the top 5% of income earners in the world and pretty much busting their butt on being able to make an investment because it's a super high risk investment in oil wells. Moved into corporate America, was a Fortune, worked for a Fortune 100 company where I was the top closer for the past 5 years, won the President's Circle, and now I've just taken another role with a different Fortune 100 company, and I've just learned and grown. But it was that whole process. I wasn't great to begin with. I had to get mentors. I had to listen to podcasts. I had to watch YouTube videos. I had to get dirty and actually have the conversation and talk with people and mess up and say the wrong thing or learn as I grew. And then you just get better at it. And I think that's with anything you do, podcasting, talking with people, finance. Maybe you don't do sales right now. Maybe you have a job. When you first started that job, you're going to have some stuff you got to deal with. Then as you grow and build and become, it gets better. Like today, Tim and I were talking. I thought this was funny. I had my whole studio set up, and for some reason, it wasn't working. So I'm in my daughter's bedroom right by her bunk bed, but we're still jamming. And I've done this with multimillionaires because I have a podcast as well, and Tim's been on, and he rocked it. And I've taught – it's sales is just helping people and talking about – their problems, their needs, and what they want, not your solutions or anything until you earn that right.
Yeah, that's great. So yeah, I want to chime in right now. So yeah, if you haven't listened to Joe's podcast, 150K podcast, it's super awesome. It's high energy and it's very helpful. So if you're a podcast person, and I checked today, yeah, up to 174 episodes, man, you're crushing it probably weekly, right? Weekly episodes. And you said something earlier. So as you said, you would classify yourself as an introvert. Mm-hmm. And you said you learned sales. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, if someone is sitting in the cubicle here, or they're in a job that they don't really like, and they're like, you know what? I need a job that's going to pay well. We both know sales pays well. It's mm-hmm. it's a very well paying job for people who do it correctly. So is it safe to say you think sales is something that can be learned? It's a behavioral thing that you think if you do the right things, is that a fair statement?
Yeah. Anything can be learned. Now, yeah. Everyone has skills and talents. And then you take your skills and talents and you keep enhancing them and growing and becoming the best you can be. Are you going to be the Michael Jordan of it? No, but if you learn systems and processes and you learn what the rule is called, knowing your numbers, you can win. So maybe, Tim, you're better at talking and interacting with people than I am. But if I'm talking to 200 people a day and you're talking to 100 people a day, I'm still going to make more money than you because the law of probability. Yes. And then all it is once I get my numbers down, then I lift my skill level up so that I can get better. And then if I talk to 200 people, maybe now I'm closing 20, where in the beginning I was closing 5. And it's just that I say this all the time and it's kind of funny, but success is boring. It's doing the right process over and over again, knowing the right results. It's not the flash in the pan stuff you see on TV. It's not the mental manipulation. Now, there is NLP. There is different, you know, psychological things you can do, voice fluctuations and all. But that's not really what makes sales happen. Sales happens because people like, trust, and believe that you can solve their problem. They don't care about your business. They don't care about your solution. They don't care about anything until you've earned the right to solve their problem. And then your solution works for them, great.
Yeah, so you're saying that. So I'm asking you, so how about behavioral traits of a good salesperson? So I'm thinking you're saying you need to listen and hear what my problem is before you can actually solve it for me. So what are some other behavioral traits you think people need that you've seen in your career? You've been doing this a long time. You're around a lot of high profile salespeople. You're a sales winner on everything you do. What are some behavioral traits people would, you know, develop?
Well, you have to be consistent. You have to be willing to do the boring things that people don't want to do. The reason people win in life is because they're willing to A, take more risk, B, do the things that no one else wants to do, and do it consistently. So first and foremost, be consistent every day. If you're going to have phone calls you have to make, you hit every phone call. If you have emails that you have to do, you hit every email. Second, level up with the people that you're surrounding yourself with, because it's a mental game. Because when you're getting told no all the time and you're having all the frustrations that can happen when you're getting rejected, you need to surround yourself with people that don't think negatively. You want to be in a positive environment. Three, understand it's not about you. A no now is not a no forever. And when they tell you no, they're not telling you no. They're saying no to whatever you've offered them. And if you can reframe that, it helps build that resilience. And then it's really, I have an old sales guy. He told me this. He goes, sometimes you just got to go in and get bloodied and see if it's something that you're willing to do. How bad do you want it? You know why I do it? Because I made $25,000 over Thanksgiving one time in a 7-minute phone call. But there was also months that I wasn't making anything and I was working 2 jobs on food stamps doing my best to help my family. There's ups, there's downs. You can make a lot of money, you can lose a lot of money. But it comes down to, what do you want to wake up your life and live to do? I'm going to Hawaii again this fall to do a half marathon. I've taken my wife there 5 times. I'm not saying this to brag, but in the last 4 years, we've gone 5 times. And it's because of the ability to sell and bring value to people. If you can bring value to people, that's how you win. That's how you build a life you love. Because I'm known for sales, but what I really love talking to people about is waking up to a life they want to live each and every day, whatever that is. And it's not the multimillionaire type of people. So let me help you here. 1% of people in the U.S. is a multimillionaire, like that one top percent. It's a very small amount. But if you're making, and we've talked about this before, if you're making over $150,000, you're in the top 10%. I think actually with inflation now it's 178, but when I made the podcast, it was 150, you know, it fluctuates a little bit there.
But still,
you can do cool stuff. We went to Disney. We've done a bunch of things. I like travel. Maybe you like cars, whatever it is. So your why factor. I know I gave you the big, long sales story there, but you have to have, why are you willing to work long hours, get told no, get rejected, do the thing so that maybe you can make the money. Because there's no guarantee. High risk, high reward. If you don't have a risk tolerance, don't get into sales. It's not going to work for you. You're going to crash and burn.
Yeah, and you said something about being resilient, which I love. And what you said I loved about it was, if you get told no in a sales question or sales proposal, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting either the solution or whatever. Maybe the person wasn't pre-qualified and you're trying to sell something they don't need anyways. But I think that's really good. So how does a person who's in it, and it's a numbers game, you said, it's the law of averages, and you're going to get told no several times. And most of us don't fear of rejection, so to speak, is hard for people. You didn't get rejected. Your solution was rejected or your product was rejected. But even that, being told no, how do you keep yourself on track? And because my daughter's played softball and she would, you're going to strike out once in a while. You're going to strike out with the bases loaded and you hit in the bottom of the seventh or the ninth inning. And we always told her, you have to have a short memory because you know what? You have another game tomorrow. That kind of attitude. But how do you, as a sales pro, how do you keep that straight? Or coach people, because you coach people. So how do you coach people who aren't as seasoned as you to keep on keeping on?
Yeah. I love the baseball analogy. You know, yeah. You're a Hall of Famer if you hit 300. That means seven times you go up there, you strike out, hit out, or get out.
Mm-hmm.
30% winning, you're a Hall of Famer in baseball.
Yeah.
Yet we get worried because we're so caught up in ourselves. With sales, it's all about the customer. It's all about solving their needs and being indifferent to the outcome. So I can control only what I do. So I can control my calls. I can control my emails. I can control the other stuff. Well, how do I control the mental games that are in my head? I don't like being rejected. You don't like being rejected.
Right.
Self-care, developing yourself, leveling up. That is how. You need to have time each and every day where you're going to build yourself up. If you're a person of faith, it might be prayer. If you're not as much in person of faith, it might just be a stillness practice. If you get in movement and in flow, because when your body moves, it helps release energy and negativity, like that type of stuff. Like you see me walk a lot. Sometimes you got to get in movement and flow. You got to figure out what is it that's going to fill my tank and let me come back the next day to do it. And then it comes down to your why. I know this sounds, it's repetitive and it sounds simple.
No, it's great.
But
yeah.
It's hard because I don't like getting told no. And I've gotten told no. Now I'm 20 years in sales, hundreds of thousands of times.
Sure. Yeah,
for sure. But I've also made companies millions of dollars and made hundreds of thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. It comes down to, what is your dream? What do you want to do? Like, you know me. You've known me for years. You knew me. You met my wife. I met my wife at your youth group. It was great. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. That's amazing.
Sure, sure.
And here's the crazy thing. I'm thinking about it. I was a country boy. If you would have told 20-year-old me that I would be in a position where I'm at, where I'm in the top 10% of income earners in the world, where I'm traveling around the world, where I'm talking to multimillionaires, and I have access to them, one, because I'm selling some of them, and two, because of the podcast and different stuff, I would have said, you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting here going, I am 2 degrees separations from like people that know Elon Musk, people that know.
Yeah.
And it's just not like a break. It's just like, it blows my mind.
Perspective. It's a perspective. Yeah.
Where you can be taken from, I grew up in Hartford in a little country town. And when I first was married, making $30,000 a year was like, wow, I'm making $30,000 a year. If I can make $60,000, oh my gosh, this would be great. I can't make $60,000 now. I wouldn't make it. But at that time, it's that perspective. So let's go back to sales. In the beginning, you're learning, you get your first sale, or you're doing a side hustle or business, same type of thing. Because if you have a side hustle or business, you have to have sales or you have a hobby. You build that up and you hit that first level, and you shouldn't be. When you first start, you're going to have this big idea in your head. And when you get there, it's like, that wasn't really that big. But at that time, it was, because you had never gotten to that level before. Same thing in anything else that you do. Once you get to that level, then all of a sudden your eyes open up. You're like, oh, wait, I can do more. I have that ability.
Yeah, that's great, man. You had said a thing earlier, too, I want to get to. And I want to take your take on this is cold calling. Which I think fear of rejection is one thing people just don't want to do, but actually picking up the phone and calling somebody, what is your perspective as a sales pro on cold calls, through whether it's actually calling or emailing or knocking doors or however you want to word it? What's your perspective of that?
I do it all.
Yeah.
You have to have the ability to cold call. And it might even be just to feel better. I send them an email first. I say, hey, Tim, I just sent you the email. I want to talk to you about it. Did you get it? You know, to kind of warm it up. But when you're doing a cold call, the reason, again, it comes back to, you talked about the fear of rejection. People hate being told no. And it's because we're We're vain. We are. We want to always be the life party. We always want to be loved. That's a human nature. That's not negativity. It's just you don't want that negativity, but you have the ability to change their life and help them. And if you go into it that mindset that my product, my service is going to help them. So like I do sales coaching some. So if I'm helping someone and I can take them from being an average, what I call draw dog, someone that's just barely hitting quota, to being at 160, 170% to plan every quarter and they're doubling their income, I've just impacted not just their lives, but their spouse's lives, their family's lives, maybe their parents' lives. I don't know what world or who they're supporting. So now there's my drive factor. There's my thing. Because I honestly, I could go out and make a bunch of money and not help anyone, and that would be easier for me. I do the podcast and the side hustle with the coaching because I want other people to wake up to a life they want to love. Like, that's what the podcast was. I'm like, holy crap, I went to Disney World. As a kid, I never thought I would have gotten to go to Disney World. Yeah. I took my family to Disney World. I'm like, this is crazy. Then I went to an event and I met my buddy George Bryant. And he's like, you're a unicorn. You need to do more of this stuff. You should help people. And I'm like, I guess I can, because my wife even has to remind me this. What's simple to me is not always simple to other people. Just like that's you good. Have gifts and talents and things you can see that's simple for you, but it's not simple. Like me working hard and making cold calls and doing all that stuff, it's easy to me now because I've done it. But in the beginning, I was like, oh, crap, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm worried. And the reason people are afraid of it is because they don't know what they're going to say. They don't have a plan. Yeah. You know, if you don't have a formatted plan and you can't – let me give you two caveats. One – when you're cold calling someone, don't pitch your business, don't pitch your service, don't pitch your project. Know what they're interested in. So I'm going to use IT because I deal in the IT world that works really well. So if you were an IT manager, Tim, I'm like, hey, Tim, Joe Graham, T-Mobile, just wanted to reach out to you real quick. I know as an IT director, you deal with like bandwidth issues, maybe some cyber threats, government regulations. Wanted to see if I could hop on a quick call with you, 10, 15 minutes, and see if I could help you out. All of a sudden there, I've touched a pain point. I touched something that they're interested in. And I said, maybe I can help you out. I mentioned my business, but I didn't pitch, hey, Tim, you know, my new tablets could possibly help you because we have the best 5G network. Or, you know, I had worked with Cisco, Meraki, blah, blah. I didn't give them a product dump. I touched their need.
Right. Yeah. So let's talk about that. So you're doing this, and we talked earlier about side hustlers or small business owners. And a lot of times someone starts a business because they're good at a very specific skill, which you touched on, a mechanic or someone who can cook really well. They want to do a food truck or they want to repair cars or pick a thing, you know, a person who roofs houses. But a lot of times they're not good at sales. And they, and you know, there's the idea that if I just build it, they'll come. And it might happen for some, but most likely it's not. How would you encourage people in that thing right now, either side hustlers or small business owners, to put on the sales hat? Because nothing happens until somebody sells something, right? And so how would you encourage that?
You need to know every aspect of your business. How can you empower someone to sell your thing if you can't sell it? How can you trust it to someone else to come in and develop a plan or something that's your baby, that you're passionate about? So if I like food, my food, I should be able to talk about my food. If I'm a roofer, I should be able to talk to people about roofing. I need to be able to proof of concept it. Then I can go and get a team and say, hey, I've been doing this. This is what's been working for me, da, 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 da. And you don't have to be the best salesperson. You just need to at least understand it and get the ball rolling. That way when your employees later on run into issues and they say, hey, man, he said this, you can say, oh, I did that. I had to deal with that before too. Or then you can start bringing in people to help you and you can expand and grow. But in the beginning – you're everything. You wear every hat. As an entrepreneur, you wear every hat. And here, I'm not going to give you a candy nice answer on this one. You chose to do it, so you don't get the right to yell at the spouse. You don't get the right to yell at the kids. You don't get the right to yell at the dogs. You chose this life. So if you choose this life, take 100% ownership. The great book I read is called 100% Ownership by Jocko.
Yeah, I heard about that one. Yeah,
a military dude, totally cool. I can't remember if he was an Army or Marine, so I don't want to say wrong. I think he was
Marine.
Maybe
a SEAL, right? A SEAL,
no, maybe, he might be a CO2. I don't remember, but great book. And it's just that ability first as a business owner, 100% responsibility is on you. And if someone has to step up, you chose it, so you do it. The same thing with sales. You said to your family, I'm going to provide for you, so you need to make your calls. You need to do your emails. You need to quit crying about the leads. It's not the leads, it's you. You need to level up 100%. And once you get that there, that's when the magic starts to happen. And I know that's not nice and fun, but we're not talking Dreamland. This is not Disney World at this point. Right. This is you're building that life you want. But on the flip side, work hard, play hard. Have a goal in mind. Have a plan set so that you make your first sale. Maybe you take the wife to a nice dinner or the husband. I don't know who's doing the sales thing. You know, you hit your first quarter. Maybe you guys go away for a weekend. You hit a whole year and you're at 120% to plan, and you should be at 100% to plan. You're 20% above. Maybe you take a trip somewhere that works for you. Find things that you can have as touch points to encourage you, because again, you're getting hit, you're getting hit, you're getting hit. You want to make sure you're taken care of. The other thing, and I know we'll get into this, but you'll agree with me on this for sure, is as a sales professional, you can make a lot of money real fast. If you don't take care of it, it goes away real fast. So that's the next caveat we should probably talk about.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of the small business owners, though, and side hustlers. I think it was Donald Miller in his book talked about that, talking about your business. And he made it sound like, he goes, we all think if we have a business, everyone knows we're in that business.
Have no clue.
But we have to talk about it more. And he says, he made the point that he says, I don't think you can talk about it enough, because probably you might post on Facebook or whatever, Instagram, chances of people seeing it, or a fraction of them will see it. Most of them are so busy being bombarded with other information. They're just going to read, you know, just not, and nothing personal. They're just busy. And so, I mean, is it okay, Joe, you do this for a living, right? Is it okay? You do a great job of promoting the 150K podcast, and you do it on multiple areas. And you probably still, there are people who know you well that may not even know you do it.
100%.
And how do you get to that point where you feel like I'm shoving it on their throat? Because it's usually people think, oh, I don't want to talk about it too much, but we probably can't talk about it enough.
Again, I'm thinking about myself. If I'm at that point, I'm not thinking about I'm helping people. I'm not thinking about I'm helping dads build a life they want and take care of their kids, which is what the podcast was set up for.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we get so caught up thinking that people are thinking about us, and in reality, they're not.
That's 99%
good. Of people are not thinking about us. But
yeah.
If you can't talk about your business and share it and tell it about people, no one else will. So the thing you have to remember is this. You're just controlling the input. You're controlling the posts that you make, the live videos you do, the content you do, the platforms you decide to do it on. And I'm going to caveat this. Don't try and do everything at once. Yes, I'm really good at it, but I didn't start doing it on every platform.
Right.
I started on Facebook, and I was just consistent. Then I moved to Instagram. Then I moved to LinkedIn. Then I moved to Twitter. I'm a little bit on Twitter. I'm not that great on Twitter. I like Threads better, actually.
Yeah.
Then I did TikTok. I had to think about it, and YouTube. And it's just the process, because like in the podcast stuff, on the podcast side, my podcast is the top 3% podcast. On YouTube, I haven't focused on it enough, and I know that's it. So if you look at my YouTube, I don't even have all my videos uploaded yet. So it's finding, okay, where can you be consistent all the time? And then ceilings and floors. This is something that my friend George Bryan taught me. I was actually talking about it on one of my reels today, I think. Every day you come up, you have a minimum. That's your floor. So if it's in sales, or at least going to make 50 calls that day, or you can at least send out 100 emails or post one piece of content, whatever that is for you. Ceiling might be, I made 200 calls today because I was in the flow and I was doing good and it was great and I sent out the emails and I did 10 posts. It just gives you boundaries. It gives you a container to work in. But here's the cool thing. Once you get that container done and that's what you agreed to for the day, you're done. All you do is control the inputs. It goes out and it comes back. It's like the sower. You sow the seed, you plant the crop, you do the thing that gets people to get there. Like I literally had, and I've been on a lot of cool podcasts, and I literally had a friend on another friend's podcast say, Joe Graham is the best kept secret out there. And I'm like, I loved it because he was bringing me up. I was like,
yeah.
And I'm out, like I am out there a lot.
Yeah, you are.
The other thing you have to remember to do is if you post content and you get a comment that someone raising their hand, reply to them. Do not ignore them. And if you're not getting enough engagement and you get a like, DM them. Just say, hey, Tim, thank you for liking my post. What made you take a moment and stop and do that? If you really want to go extra level, do it in the video. Because one, you're going to get comfortable in front of the camera. Two, you're just talking to one person. So if you mess up, it's not as big of a deal.
Yeah.
But three, how many video DMs do you get on a regular basis? It distinguishes you. You're talking about absolutely. Getting in that space instead of just, oh, I'm a number. I liked it. I never heard anything. Oh, crap. Tim just did a video saying thank you because I commented on his post on financial freedom.
Yeah.
And then it builds a community.
Yeah. Yeah, we all want to feel special, right? We want to feel like we're wanted and liked, and that's a good way of doing it. So, so towards the end here, Joe's his podcast. If you're in sales, I highly recommend the 150K podcast. He does some coaching and stuff. You can reach out. We'll get his information, and I'll put it in the comments so we have a way to contact him. But I want you to maybe talk to people who are in sales right now, and you know it's a tough job, mm-hmm. and so there are people who are in it right now, and maybe they're struggling. And you have a couple minutes to like share your heart with them. What kind of message would you share to them specifically, those who are already in sales and just struggling a little bit right now?
Sure. First and foremost, are you putting in 100% effort, or are you blaming something else? Are you blaming leads? Are you blaming circumstances? Are you blaming family? Are you blaming stress? You, as a sales professional, you're choosing to help people. You're choosing to do this life. So evaluate yourself, find out where you're at. If it's you're not making enough calls or emails or reach outs, raise them up. That's all you can do. You can only control those inputs. If it's you are, but you're not getting the responses you want, find a mentor, find a coach, listen to a podcast, listen to someone that can help you craft a message that resonates with your audience, because it might be you're reaching out, but your message is not correct for the people you're reaching out to. Third, go to networking events and get around people that aren't going to let you deal with your crap. Because we all have it. We all have blind spots. And when you have the right people around you that are helping you, that's when you win. Community is huge. 100% ownership. Make sure your message is right. And know your numbers. And again, we talked earlier, success is boring. It's doing the processes over and over each and every day. And I went from making $30,000 a year to over $200,000 a year. And this year, I'll probably make over $400,000 because of the move I made. Mm-hmm. And you can just level up and grow there and build the life you love.
Yeah, what you said about the success is boring. Maybe, and both of us are fans of the book Atomic Habits, but he talks about that. You know, you rise or fall to level your systems, and implementing those systems. So, yeah. So, Joe, how can people contact you? What's the best way for them to reach out to you or hear your messages?
Sure. 150K podcast is on every platform, wherever you listen, from iHeartRadio to Spotify, Apple, all of them. On Instagram, I'm Joe Graham Real. On YouTube, I'm Joe Graham Real. On TikTok, I'm Joe Graham Real. LinkedIn's my name, Joe Graham. Mm-hmm. I think it's actually Joseph on LinkedIn. And then on Facebook, easiest way is 150K podcast, because there's a bunch of Joe Grahams, but you'll see my face on there. But that's the easiest way.
Yeah.
I have a website. I always forget about it. It's called 150kconsulting.com. You can check that out there too. It has a video and some stuff that you can check out the podcast. And if you want to hop on a call, I give you a free 30-minute call.
Nice. Very good. Yeah. I highly recommend Joe's consulting, coaching, and his podcast. So one final thought you'd like to leave with people that think maybe something we didn't cover that you're like, God, this is in the back of my mind. I want to share.
It's your life. Wake up to a life you want to live and love. Don't worry about the influencers, the fake Lambo boys, or the people that say you have to be X to be happy. Sit down, write on a piece of paper what it is you want. If you have a spouse, get with them, because you need to do it together. Write out, well, actually do it separate, then come together, then build a plan so that you can live a life that you want to live and love. And don't worry what other people say, because it's not their life. They don't get a choice. It's your life.
Very good. Thanks, Joe, for coming today. So, you know, this podcast is about savvy stewardship. So if that's you, you know, learn to live a savvy stewardship life. We say blessings to you and your family. I will see you soon with another video. Until then, I dare you to profit so you can practice, promote radical, revolutionary generosity. Joe, again, thank you, and blessings to you all.